Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence.
Shalom and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before, so if this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com, where you can download all of our archives for free, as well as free Kindle editions of our two books and a free Healing Scriptures CD set to music as an MP3 download. Also, brand new links on our site for you to order your Pure Shemin 100% undefiled essential oils while earning points toward discounts on your next order. The premise of this program each week is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13-17. You are part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined throughout His entire Word. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. Last week we looked at the motto, United We Stand, Divided We Fall, which has been used throughout the history of the United States of America, and how this motto also relates to Yahweh's people throughout Scripture. This week we are going to take a look at the purpose of freedom, which is also what the United States was based upon, and is also the theme throughout Scripture. The U.S. was founded upon the idea of liberty and justice. Chief among these liberties or freedoms was the freedom of religion, or actually the freedom to worship our Creator according to our conscience or individual convictions. Was this a new idea that began with the founding of the United States? Not at all. Let's take a look at Scripture, which is the true origination of the idea of freedom. We've all seen the movie and read the Scriptures. Moses was instructed to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But the instruction did not stop there. Our Creator finishes out the sentence with a reason for their freedom, and it wasn't just so they didn't have to work so hard or be mistreated, though of course that was all part of the fringe benefits, so to speak, of being freed. Exodus 5:1. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and said to Pharaoh, "Thus said Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, let my people go, so that they celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." And then in Exodus 7:16, Yahweh says, "And you shall say to him, Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, so that they serve me in the wilderness." And Exodus 8:1, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus said Yahweh, let my people go, so that they serve me." Exodus 8:20, "And Yahweh said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to water, and say to him, thus said Yahweh, let my people go, so that they serve me." Exodus 9:1, "And Yahweh said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus said Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go, so that they serve me." Exodus 9:13, "And Yahweh said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus said Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go, so that they serve me." And Exodus 10:3, "And Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, thus said Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, till when shall you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, so that they serve me." Yahweh makes it very clear that he is freeing his people so that they can serve him. In fact, he made it very clear, even from the burning bush, that is what he expected the people to use their newfound freedom for. Moses was told by Yahweh in Exodus 3:12, "Because I am with you, and this is to you the sign that I have sent you, when you have brought the people out of Mitzrayim, or Egypt, you are to serve Elohim on this mountain." Okay, so fast forward a few thousand years later to the founding of the United States. The European Catholic churches had become very corrupt. There was no particular place where Yahweh's people could worship him according to his word without severe persecution. They were not free to worship him. So, in his mercy, even though we were still in the dispersion or exile from the Promised Land, he opened up a whole new country where we could be free to serve him. Not free to serve ourselves, not to be free from religion, but to worship him without persecution, openly, and spread his word to the four corners of the earth from this new bastion of freedom. And that is exactly what, for the most part, we did from the beginning. No, the U.S. was certainly never without sin or faults. We never were a perfect nation, but for those who chose to worship our Creator, we were certainly free to do so. As we all know, this freedom of worship, religion, or whatever you want to call it, that we have here in the U.S. is ever so slowly being eroded away, along with all of the other freedoms that also came as part of the package deal with our Constitution. Actually, probably not so slowly these days. We have seen that the number one reason our Creator sets his people free is so that we serve him. What happens when we use this freedom to serve ourselves instead? As a nation, or even as Christians in the United States, are we really serving him the way he instructs us to? Or are we actually serving ourselves? Have we chosen to serve government, our jobs, our hobbies, sports, and money first, and then him with the time we have left over? Jeremiah 2:20, "For of old I have broken your yoke and torn off your chastisements, and you said, I am not serving you, when on every high hill and under every green tree you lay down a whore. Yet I planted you a choice vine, all of it a true seed. How then you turned before me into the degenerate plant of a strange vine, although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your crookedness is ingrained before me, declares the Master Yahweh." Then let's take a look at Psalms chapter 80, starting in verse 8. "And you brought a vine out of Mitzrayim, or Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared a place for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its twigs. She spread her branches to the sea and her shoots to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that every passerby plucked her fruit? The boar out of the forest ravages it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beg you, O Elohim of hosts, look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine, and the stock which your right hand has planted, and the son whom you made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of your face. Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, upon the son of Adam, whom you made strong for yourself. And we shall not backslide from you, revive us, and let us call upon your name. Turn us back, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, and cause your face to shine, that we might be saved." Isaiah 5:1 also talks about this vine. "Please let me sing to the one I love, a song for my loved one regarding his vineyard. My loved one has a vineyard on a fertile hill. And he dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vine and built a watchtower in its midst and also made a winepress in it. And he waited for the yielding of grapes, but it yielded rotten ones. And now, O inhabitant of Jerusalem and man of Yehuda, please judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I waited for the yielding of grapes, did it yield rotten ones? And now, please let me inform you what I am doing to my vineyard: to take away its hedge, and it shall be burned; to break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down; and I lay it waste. It is not pruned or dug, and thorn bushes and weeds shall come up, and I command the clouds not to rain on it. For the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel, and the man of Yehuda is his pleasant plant. He looked for right ruling, but see oppression, for righteousness, but see weeping. Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field. That means get more than one house and need lots and lots of land for one person. So multiplying land and houses. It says, woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field, until there is no room, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my hearing, Yahweh of hosts said, truly many houses shall be a waste, big and fine ones, without inhabitant. Isaiah chapter 5 goes on to say in verses 20 through 30, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to the mighty who drink wine and brave men to mix strong drink, who declare right the wrong for a bribe, and the righteousness of the righteous they turn aside from him. Therefore, as a tongue of fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, their root is as rottenness, and their blossom goes up like dust, because they have rejected the Torah of Yahweh of hosts, and despised the word of the set-apart one of Yisrael. Therefore the displeasure of Yahweh has burned against his people, and he stretches out his hand against them and strikes them, and the mountains tremble, and their carcass is as filth in the middle of the streets. With all this his displeasure has not turned back, and his hand is still stretched out. And he shall lift up a banner to the nations from afar, and shall whistle to them from the end of the earth. And see, they come with speed swiftly. Not one of them is weary or stumbling, not one slumbers or sleeps. Not a belt shall be loosened on their loins, nor their thong of their sandals be broken. Their arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent. Their horses' hoofs shall seem like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roar is like that of a lion, their roar like young lions. And they growl and seize prey, and slip away with no one to rescue. And in that day they shall growl over it, as with the growling of the sea. And one shall look at the earth and see darkness and distress, and light shall be darkened by the clouds. So far, all of these verses clearly do speak of Israel as a vine set free from Egypt and planted as Yahweh's vineyard to serve him. Though, if you change a few words around, such as replace Mitzrayim with Europe, you could be talking about the planting of Yahweh's vine of his people in the United States to serve him. With these verses in mind, now let's read the riddle, parable, prophecy in Ezekiel 17:1-24. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable to the house of Israel. And you shall say, Thus said the Master Yahweh, The great eagle with large wings of long pinions, covered with feathers of various colors, came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. He plucked off the topmost of its young twigs, and brought it to a land of traders. In a city of merchants he placed it. He also took some of the seed of the land and planted it in a field for seed. He took it by many waters, set it like a willow tree. So it grew and became a low spreading vine. Its branches turned toward him, and its roots were under it. And it became a vine and brought forth branches and sent out shoots. And there was another eagle. Great eagle with large wings and many feathers, and see, this vine bent its roots toward him and stretched its branches toward him to water it away from the beds where it was planted. It was planted in a good field by many waters to bring forth branches and to bear fruit, to be a splendid vine. Say, thus said the Master Yahweh, is it going to thrive? Is he not going to pull up its roots and cut off its fruit and let it wither? All of its sprouting leaves wither, without great power or many people to pluck it up by its roots. See, it is planted. Is it going to thrive? Would it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? Wither in the beds where it grows? Ezekiel 17 goes on to again speak clearly of the fall of the southern kingdom of Israel to Babylon. However, the chapter started out saying it was a riddle, something that needs to be figured out. The first time Israel was delivered from oppression to serve Yahweh was compared to the planting of a vine and the picture of the origination of the United States, in that we were delivered from the other nations to be able to serve Him, is very comparable to the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Verse 4 of Ezekiel 17 said, "He plucked off the topmost of its young twigs and brought it to a land of traders. In a city of merchants He placed it." Where exactly did the United States originate, the actual United States first capital, first center of politics and government? That would be in New York. Wouldn't that be a land of traders, a city of merchants? Then verse 5 says, "He also took some of the seed of the land and planted it in a field for seed. He took it by many waters and set it like a willow tree." After reading the riddle of Ezekiel 17 in context of this parallel between Israel and the United States, as well as the other verses about the planting of the vine of Israel, it is easy to see how the United States is actually in the Bible and in biblical prophecy, in my opinion. I believe we are that goodly vine planted in a field by many waters, you know, from sea to shining sea, with the breadbasket of the world and the mighty Mississippi right smack in the middle. We were set free and planted in this goodly land of many waters for what purpose? In order to serve Him. We are free to serve Him and not ourselves. When we quit serving Him, I truly believe we will no longer be a free nation or a free people. However, He will always have His remnant that He will deliver in order that they can serve Him. The U.S. and its Christians, Messianics, Jews, etc., are all well along the path of no longer serving Him. Paralleling this decline is also the inevitable decline in all of our other freedoms as well. After all, He set us free so that we can serve Him. If we choose not to do so, then of what purpose to Elohim is our freedom? He is the originator and sustainer of freedom. When we no longer serve Him, we will no longer be free. Reread the endings of the corrupted vines in the previously mentioned verses. Not pretty. As Joshua so eloquently put it in Joshua 24:14 and 15, "Now therefore fear Yahweh and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye Yahweh. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Yahweh, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh." No matter where we are in the world, whether the U.S. or elsewhere, if we choose to serve Him with whatever freedom we have, He will meet us where we are and set us free to serve Him even more fully. Even though it is under attack, we do still have the freedom of worship and the freedom of speech here in the United States. We need to use it while we still can. Speak up, sound the shofar, praise Him to anyone who will listen. Make the most of whatever opportunity presents itself to you. True freedom only comes from serving Him and not ourselves. Many of today's churches proclaim that Yeshua died to free us from the requirements of the law. It is true that Yeshua died to set us free, but free specifically from the law of sin and death. We have sinned, therefore we deserve eternal death. He took our deserved punishment upon Himself so that we could have eternal life, and we are freed from death so that we can serve Him for eternity. Remember, He is not a cruel taskmaster by any means. He actually commands us to take a day completely off each week and to observe 7 feasts or festivals throughout the year, with even more time off. He provides for all of our needs and wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. What a great boss to be servant to. It is freedom to serve Him. Let's now look at some freedom scriptures in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:16 tells us, "As free people, we should not be using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of Elohim." There it is again, our freedom is to be used as servants of Yahweh. Then 2 Peter chapter 2 is all about being promised liberty by those that are actually the servants of corruption. 2 Peter Chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the master that bought them, and bring upon themselves a swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers not. For if Elohim spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous men dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Yahweh knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before Yahweh. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb donkey, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved for ever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than their beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned into his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. James 1:25 tells us, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Or another version says, blessed in the doing of the Torah. Galatians 5:13 tells us, for you, brothers, have been called to freedom, only do not use freedom as an occasion for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Let us use our freedom in Messiah and our freedoms in the United States wisely, in order that we serve Him and serve each other. We praise you, Yahweh, according to your righteousness, and we sing praise to the name of Yahweh Most High. We praise thee, O Yahweh, with our whole heart. We will show forth all your marvelous works. We are glad and rejoice in you, and will sing praise to your name, O Yahweh Most High. Be exalted, O Yahweh, in your own strength. We sing and praise your power. We will declare your name unto our brethren in the midst of the congregation. We will praise you. Please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our archives and other free material. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.